The words of God given to us is from Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 19. It is from page 118 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Amen. At the end of November of 2016, a copy of the musical score of the Second Symphony of Gustav Mahler, an Austrian composer who was born in Bohemia, was put up for an auction at Sotheby's of London. Now, the symphony, which has the title of Resurrection, is one of the well-known Mahler symphonies. At the auction, the music was sold for 4.5 million British pounds, which is approximately 6.7 billion won, to an anonymous purchaser. It was the highest price ever paid for a music in Sotheby's history. It is said that the music, made up of 232 pages, show Mahler's revisions and handwritten notes, and reveals the compositional process by which Mahler came to compose the symphony. The symphonies composed by Mahler were not popular with people, but this symphony received a lot of attention from audiences. The Mahler who achieved fame with this composition was appointed as the musical director of Vienna State Opera Theater in 1897, the highest honor for a conductor. Now, this music was initially owned by Gilbert Kaplan, an industrialist and an amateur conductor, but it was later sold at an auction when he passed away. It is said that he heard this music for the first time when he was 40, fell in love with it, and studied conducting because of it. And during his life, he gave over 100 performances of this symphony, including in Korea in 2005. And among the white Joseon porcelains, the round ones that are milky in color and are taller than 40 centimeters are called, centimeters in height, are called the white porcelain moon jar. This past June, a white porcelain moon jar, which was 45 centimeters in height, was sold at Seoul Auction. The jar was purchased at the price of 3.1 billion won, which was the highest price ever paid for a Korean porcelain in an auction. In the entire category of antique artworks, Korean artworks, it was the third highest price paid. Now, this white porcelain jar was used in the royal palace, and just based on that fact, it has value. But it is even more of a treasure because there are currently only 20 white porcelain moon jars that are in existence today, including those which are considered national treasures and treasured items. In April of last year, a piece of porcelain which was used by the Emperor Kanghui-je of Qing Dynasty 300 years ago was sold for a price of $3,040,000. About 32.1 billion won. Now, this porcelain has pinkish hue and gorgeously decorated with daffodils in enamel. It is a bowl which is only about 15 centimeters in width. It is said that there are only three porcelains that have designs drawn against a pinkish background. And despite its anticipated high price, it was sold in 5 minutes after the auction started. Now, in today's text, in the text that we will read next week, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like the score of Mahler written on a paper, a white porcelain moon jar, an enameled porcelain. Now, I've said this when we talked about the Lord's Prayer that the Lord has taught us in chapter 11, but I will go over the concept of the kingdom of heaven again. Now, if someone were to ask you, why do you believe in Jesus? How would you answer? In the past, when this question was asked, most answered, I believe in Jesus to go to God's kingdom, the heaven. Or, I believe in Jesus so that I won't go to hell. But these days, there are hardly any Christians who give such an answer. It's probably because such an answer seems a bit calculating, or something that a new believer who is less sophisticated in terms of faith-wise would say. Instead, there are probably not too few who will say, I believe in order to discover God's will for me and to offer myself to such will, or in order to share fellowship with God who loves me, or in order to repay the grace God has shown me. But we believe in Jesus because of the kingdom of heaven. The words that John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus, spoke as he began his ministry, and the words that Jesus spoke as he began his public ministry were alike. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is near. This was how important the kingdom of God in Jesus' ministry. And Jesus taught the disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. And the content of the teaching was as follows. It's from Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So he taught about the kingdom of God. So when Jesus began his public ministry, the first message was about the kingdom of God, and his last teaching was also about the kingdom of God. Now, there was a time when Jesus sent out the disciples in the middle of his ministry to declare all that they had seen and heard up to that time. At that time, Jesus explained that the reason he sent out the disciples was as follows. This is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The reason that Jesus empowered his disciples to overcome evil spirits and to cure diseases was in order for them to proclaim the kingdom of God. And this is not all. The book of Acts ends by Apostle Paul being confined to a cheap hut-like place at the periphery of Rome under a house arrest. The Acts testifies about what he did during those times in Acts 28, verses 30 to 31. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So in the gospel that Apostle Paul preached, he talked about the kingdom of God. Now, many people think of Kingdom of God as kind of a place. People think of a place, as it is described in Isaiah, a place where a wolf and a child live together, a leopard and a young goat lie down together, a calf and a young lion and fat animals live together, a place where a child who has just been weaned puts his hand in the den of vipers in play. And as it is testified in Revelation, people remember the heaven as a place where there is no need for the sun or the moon to give light, where the walls of the New Jerusalem are all made of gems, the gate to the city is made of a single large pearl, and where every day different fruits hang by the river where the water of life flows. But the kingdom of God, as expressed in the Bible, is described as a place in only a few places, and is mostly described as a territory, a kind of a realm, which is under a sovereign rule. There are three factors that make up a nation, and these three factors are sovereignty, citizens, and territory. If we say Korea, people would think of our peninsula, Jeju Island, Dokdo Island, and related islands. Americans or Britons may think of the country of Yoo Hyun-jin, the baseball player, or Son Heung-min, the soccer player. But what is most important in making up a nation is sovereignty. The next important is the people, and the third important factor is the territory. So Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution talks about our sovereignty, Section 2 talks about the people, and the Section 3 talks about the territory. Now, when I was a fifth grader in an elementary school, the Olympics took place in Montreal, Canada, in 1976. This is the first Olympics that I remember. I was too young to remember the prior Olympics. I remember watching our team athletes leave in order to participate in the games on television. The TV announcer said something like, "We have no doubt that our courageous-looking athletes will return home triumphant." When I heard this, I thought Korea excelled in sports. At that Olympics, Korea won altogether 6 gold medals, and only one of them was gold. Yang Jong-mo won a gold medal in wrestling against a Mongolian opponent. I watched a competition on television. I remember the sportscaster saying, "Fellow citizens, be joyful with us. This is the first gold medal we won since the liberation." In 1936, Son Ki-jung won the gold medal at the marathon at the Berlin Olympics. But at the time, Korea was under Japanese occupation. Korea had territory and people, but it had no national sovereignty. So Son had to run wearing a Japanese flag on his uniform, on his chest. A country that has territory and people, but does not have sovereignty, is not called a nation, but a colony. At that time, Korea was not officially a country, but a colony of Japan. In the Lord's Prayer, there is a part where "Your kingdom come, is prayed. A kingdom is the area in which the king's commands have force, the area which is under his rule. Therefore, the kingdom of God should be understood not in terms of a territory, but sovereignty. This will help us in understanding the concept more clearly. The United States is the place where President Trump can rule. In other words, it reaches to the places where his rule is effective. And China is the place where Premier Xi can rule. In other words, it reaches to the place where his rule is effective. Then what about Korea? It is the place where places where President Moon Jae-in's commands are effective. Although the Korean embassy in Washington and the Korean embassy in Beijing is each at a foreign location, these places are part of Korea because they are only under the command of the President of Korea, not the commands or of the President of the United States or a Premier of China. Even the President of the United States or the Premier of China cannot issue an order to our embassies. If they tried to do that, it would be an act of insult to Korea. Often it is said that the church is a model of God's kingdom. The reason for this is that the church is a place which is under sovereignty of God. When we pray during Sunday worship or Wednesday Bible study, because it is our turn, or when we pray in private, there's probably no one who prays, "God, please make our 100th anniversary memorial church take after the will of the standing committee and the operating committee." And there is probably no one who prays, "God, may our 100th anniversary memorial church take after the will of our joint pastors." Everyone probably prays, "God, allow our 100th anniversary memorial church to understand your will and be obedient to it." A church can be a model of God's kingdom because church communicates the will of God and obeys it. If a church were to be ruled not by the will of God, but by the will of a particular group of people, then that church is no longer a kingdom of God, but would be an empire which exists for a particular people. In verse 18, it is said, "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?'" In the same way that we call 1 Corinthians 13 as the chapter of love, we call chapter 13 of Matthew as the chapter of parables. It's because many parables are mentioned there. To be more precise, all of these parables are about heaven or the kingdom of God. The Bible does not clearly portray heaven or the kingdom of God as by saying it's like this kind of a place. Almost in all cases, it describes heaven in metaphors and tells us heaven is like such and such. This is probably because of limitations that humans have, the finitude of human beings. If this is the same, for example, as our dogs not understanding what Jeju Island is like, no matter how we try to explain it. It's like how our dogs cannot understand how well we will treat them and how we will care for them to the end, no matter what. Regardless of how well we try to explain to them. It's better that We take them on walks often and give them good food and snacks rather than trying to explain in lengthy speech. A long time ago, I went to visit a member of the church who was living at an apartment that had the view of Hangang River. The view was really beautiful. And after the service, as we were drinking tea, the member who lived there said, "There is no other heaven. This place is heaven." Then another member who was there asked, "Pastor, do you think we can drink coffee like the way we are doing now in heaven?" I answered, "The heaven is probably a place which is incomparably better than anything we can imagine." And I had once heard this. The four Christian friends who like playing golf played golf together one day. During the round, one of the friends asked, "Do you think there will be a golf course in heaven?" Another friend who heard this replied, "God is our Father, right? Don't you think He would have one prepared for us?" This is our human limitation. When we think about God's kingdom, our expectation only goes so far as drinking coffee at a nice place and a golf club where we get to pursue our hobbies. So Jesus thought long and hard about how to explain it so that we can understand better, and thought of a parable. This is from verse 19. "It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Jesus compared the kingdom of God as a grain of mustard seed. When I was in high school, there was a revival meeting, and the speaker who was invited to speak at the meeting showed the mustard seed and gave several of them to the elders and deacons and deaconesses of our church. I didn't get one because I was a student. The persons who received the seeds taped them on their Bible as a memento, and it was the first time that I saw mustard seeds. They were so small that you had to look carefully to see that there were seeds at all. But I got to know later that they were not actually mustard seeds, but tobacco tree seeds. At the time of Jesus, tobacco trees were not even around where he was. Actually, the mustard seeds are about 1 millimeter in diameter. In Palestine at the time, a mustard seed was used to describe something that was very tiny. And in our saying, if one says, "My husband earns a salary of a mouse tail," it means that the earning is not very much. Now, there are significantly many animals or insects that have a smaller tail than a mouse, but the expression mouse tail is used to emphasize tininess. And also, when we speak of a very young boy, we say a guy the size of a fist. And even if a child is small as he can be, there is no child that is the size of a fist. So if the mouse tail is an expression meant to emphasize the smallness of quantity, the expression size of a fist is a way to emphasize the smallness of size. Because we heard the parable about the mustard seeds many times, we don't have any negative reaction to it or a feeling when we hear it. But people at the time were probably very different. They probably frowned. Because it is like for us to say something like the kingdom of God is like a grain of millet. Or chopsal. Now, in Korean, the word millet is associated with strong negative meanings. Now, when we describe a person who is petty, we say somebody who would cut and eat pieces of millet, or somebody who would shave off a grain of millet to eat, or a millet geezer, a chopsal yanggam. The mustard seeds were one of the smallest of the seeds which were planted in Palestine at the time. But when they were fully grown, mustard plants could be taller than 3 meters. Because mustard seeds were used for their oil and to make seasoning, they were important items back then. But Jesus did not use mustard seeds to tell a parable because they happened to be important products. This is from verse 19. It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Now what is emphasized in the saying is the growth. A mustard seed is so small that they cannot be easily seen. But when the mustard plant grows, birds come to rest in its branches. Now, the disciples had been following Jesus around for more than 2 years. Moreover, John and Andrew were initially the disciples of John the Baptist. But when they heard John the Baptist say, in seeing Jesus, the Lamb of God, they became the disciples of Jesus. The Lamb of God is an expression that points to the Messiah whom the people of Israel had been waiting for a long time. Now Jesus calmed the Sea of Galilee when a great storm came, healed the sick, made people who were possessed with evil spirits whole, and even brought back the dead. And he fed 5,000 people, counting men alone, with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fishes. So in disciples' thinking, Jesus should go to Jerusalem to become king. But he seemed to continue to focus on unimportant things. To the disciples, Jesus was initially an emblem of hope, but he was increasingly becoming an emblem of despair. And Jesus told them this parable at the time. He is encouraging them by saying, even though your lives and work may not seem like much, they will grow while people are not aware, and you will have an impact on their lives. The life of Jesus was like a mustard seed. When Jesus, the creator of the world, came as a man to this earth, he was not born into a royal family of Rome or some high nobleman. And he did not come as a son of a great scholar or a wealthy man. He was born not only as a traveling carpenter son and was laid in the manger where the animals were fed. The people who visited Jesus upon his birth were shepherds who were then looked down upon by others. Jesus did not make a lot of money, didn't achieve a high position, or engaged in deep studies. People saw him as a son of an ignorant carpenter, and he himself as a carpenter. But because he is an eternal being, he was a savior to the people of that time and is 2,000 years later and will continue to be our savior to the ends of time. The disciples also were people like mustard seeds. About seven of them were fishermen from Galilee who could be summed up as being ignorant and poor. One person was a tax collector who was looked down upon by others and who could not even go to the synagogue to worship. The people who waited for the promised Holy Spirit at the upper room of Mark after Jesus ascended to heaven were only 120 in number. But the gospel, which started with them, the gospel which was like a mustard seed, became the Christianity of today. The Gustav Mahler's music, which is worth 4.5 million British pounds that I mentioned at the beginning of my talk today, is made up merely of seven scales. Seven scales by themselves are not much and do not amount to anything, but they are present not only as music, but all of the Western music come within these seven scales. The scales were used to make countless music, and the music moves people deeply. The hymns, the gospels, and the praises that our choir sings every week also are made of these seven scales. These scales move our hearts and direct our lives towards God. And the 31 billion won white moon jar and the $3,040,000 enameled porcelain were also merely dirt in the beginning. The dirt itself is nothing, but when the dirt becomes art through the hands of a skilled craftsman, it became such an expensive object. So our lives also are important. No matter how small we feel about ourselves, we are precious because we have been crafted by the eternal master craftsman God. All Western literary works begin with the 26 alphabets. These alphabets in themselves don't seem like much, but the works of Shakespeare, Goethe, Victor Hugo, and Hemingway were all made with them. Novels, dramas, poems, scholarly works were all forged with them. The 24 Korean phonetic alphabets don't seem to amount to a lot, but all of our literatures were made with these alphabets. The Korean Bibles that we read are also made up of these 24 alphabets. These words, once formed, knock on our souls and become the post that guide our lives to God. Because the mustard seed is small, it may not be noticeable, but it grows into a tree because of the life that is in it. Regardless of how small and powerless we may feel, there is the eternal life which God has planted within us. Because of this, as long as we are in God, we will grow together in God and be built up together. And the more we become the underbranches, new branches will grow above us, and the more people will come to rest in our lives. And when we do so, the kingdom of God will unfold through us. Even at times when our faith seems small and don't seem to amount to much, let us not become foolish Christians who live as we please or those who turn their backs on God. Let us abandon self-centered way of life, abandon a life lived to satisfy our desires only, abandon a life in which we chase after secular values. When we live a life centered on God, a life befitting of children of God, the mustard seed, which is in us, will surely grow. Do you know why? Because the person who has planted that seed in us is an eternal person. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us that heaven is not only to be understood as a place, but a realm under your power. Every week we pray the Lord's Prayer and ask that your kingdom come. But we confess that in reality our lives were not under your rule, and were more often than not they reside in our ambitions and our worldly values. May our hands that are on the steering wheels of our lives come under your hands. And thank you for planting the seeds of your kingdom in us. Although at times those seeds may look small and don't seem to amount to much, but help us not to forget and help us not to despair or to give up. Help us to hope in faith that it will grow in us because it is something that you planted and be built up in you. So may we experience the growth of kingdom in us, and may the entire realm of our lives come under your rule. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.